40 days journey to Jerusalem, which has been a sermon series and a daily devotional that we've done, and our kids and students and adults have done it in home groups and ladies groups. And today we're going to be teaching out of day 37. And we're going to be talking about the hidden power of serving. And a lot of times when we look at power, like making a difference in the world, we tend to try to lay out a plan to climb a ladder that'll get us to the top. And from the top, we have this big position of power. And here we can make the biggest difference, right? And it's from the top that we can really wield our power. And from there, we can move and we can shake. And then when we move and shake, and they call us movers and shakers, right? Everybody underneath of us, what? Moves and shakes along with us. But there is another form of power that changes the world. And Jesus taught about this type of power. And he also personified this type of power. In fact, he lived it out, we could say. And this type of power actually split time. Our calendars testify and they prove this type of power. The year this year is what? It's 2013 AD, Anno Domini, or the year of our Lord, the year that Jesus Christ was born. And not only could this type of power split time, but it could actually overcome death. It could actually rattle the grave. Matthew 20:28 says this: the Son of Man, or Jesus, did not come to be served, but to what? To serve and to give his life as a ransom for money. He overcame ransom for many. He overcame the grave. And today we're going to investigate this power of serving. Because a lot of teachings of Jesus, I don't know about you, but a lot of times when I hear these things and they first hit me, I'm just like, what? They just don't make sense. Because Jesus' kingdom, maybe you've heard it described this way, is kind of an upside down kingdom. Have you guys ever heard that term or that phrase used about Jesus and his kingdom? They just don't add up when we first hear them, or on face value. It's just a little weird, right? To become strong, we need to be weak. Or to be rich, we have to become poor. Did those things kind of add up? Not the type of thing we learned in school or in the business world, is it? To become first, we need to seek to become last. To become great, we need to seek to be the least. To smell awesome, you have to seek to become the refuse of society. I mean, it just doesn't add up. And you're like, what? But there, these teachings that Jesus gives us, these principles, have a hidden power in them. And until you really start living them out, you can never know. It's hidden. There's these principles and these truths. And we're going to look today at the hidden power of serving. And it comes out of your journals, your Journey to Jerusalem, if you have them with you. It's day 37. And we're going to be in Luke 22:24. And before we read the scriptures here, if you would, let's go ahead and we'll pray. Pray for me and we'll pray for y'all as well. Lord Jesus, these teachings that you gave your followers 2,000 years ago to empower them, Lord, we pray that they would empower us today. Lord, I pray for myself, for the ability to hear and see clearly and to relate, Lord, without filter. What you've shown me this week and this morning, Lord, I pray for each one here a boldness and a courage. To do what you tell each one to do this morning, and to go where you tell each one to go, and to live out, Lord, the truths that we all hear and learn this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So Luke 22, 24, I think we go in the beginning, we'll go to verse 27. A dispute also arose among them as to which of them was considered to be the greatest. Jesus said to them, "The kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who exercise authority over them call themselves benefactors. But you are not to be like that. Instead, the greatest among you should be like the youngest, and the one who rules like the one who serves. For who is the greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who is at the table? But I am among you as one who serves." So who is Jesus talking to in this passage? He is talking to his leadership team. He's talking to his followers, and not just all of his followers, but he is talking to his homies, his closest group of followers, his friends. These are people, his guys that have walked with him for, this is 3 years now. These guys have been walking and watched his every move. They've hung on every word. These are his disciples, the 12. And to put this into perspective, this dispute that has risen among them, we need to kind of put this in context. They're in the upper room. And if you, we always say that we need to have 20/20 vision if we're really going to be great Bible students, right? And 20/20 vision is what? What would we say at Arden Faith? Excellent, Mrs. Watson. Yes. We need to look at the 20 verses before, and we need to look at the 20 verses after to really get a great context in our Bible study. But we don't even have to go 20 verses back to get the context here. We only need to go 4 verses back. And if we go 4 verses back to get the context and the scene for what's happening, here's what we see in the just four verses prior. So this is the scene here. Three things that have happened is the first, they have just taken the first communion in the upper room. Jesus has just told them that he's going to go away. And Jesus has also just revealed that someone on his leadership team is going to betray him and be an accomplice in his execution. So they've just gotten those three things have just happened. So they've just had this intense time of oneness, right? Community and union, which is communion. They've just had this information come to them that Jesus was going to leave and Jesus was going to suffer, that he was going to be taken away from them, and that he was going to be betrayed. And you think that there would be this overwhelming sense of solidarity and grief. Do you think that that was just going to overwhelm them, that they'd be just caught in that place and no other emotion or no other thought would be able to penetrate the group? But there is this huge, there's this large sucking sound. Have you guys ever heard the term of the power vacuum? And the thing that they just cannot ignore is this sound. And even though they feel sad and they're bummed out, they love Jesus. Jesus is their life. They just can't deny that, oh, well, if Jesus is going away and he's numero uno, somebody's got to take his spot. And this power vacuum is just like, you know, when the window gets busted in the plane in the movies, and it's like, oh, and everybody things getting sucked through the one window, and papers and briefcases and people are just like holding on for dear life because everybody's getting sucked out of the plane. This thing is anchored as they could be in love, and as anchored as they could be in sadness and all the appropriate things that they could be feeling at the time, inappropriately, they are just getting sucked by this, you know, the power vacuum. They can't deny it. And what they're doing is they're looking at serving themselves. In fact, Judas, he's already used his inside connection and the power that Jesus has elevated these guys, right? I mean, these were just common guys. Fishermen. I mean, these were just nobodies that Jesus has elevated and Jesus has empowered. And one guy, Judas, he's already used that position that he's had and to serve himself and to try to make a few extra dollars. Serve himself, and we know how it turns out for him in his quest to serve himself, right? He served himself and he destroyed himself. And now the rest of the guys, they're in danger of serving themselves, and with the end result, you know, this whole thing that Jesus has tried to build into his team are in danger of getting sucked right out of the window. And Jesus knows, hey, I've got to go over to this thing and I've got to hit the kill switch. You know, like on a piece of power equipment and the thing's just going crazy and there's always the kill switch that you got to hit. And this is what Jesus is doing in this teaching. Amen? The team cannot continue down this road. They have missed the most basic of all of Jesus' teaching in 3 years. You think that they would have got this one teaching. The power of serving. Jesus has taught about it. He has demonstrated it over and over and over again. But here we are in the last room as Jesus is just about ready to go to a false trial, a mock trial, falsely persecuted, and then executed. And after 3 years, they still can't get this right. But remember, we talked about last week, when we look at these stories and these accounts in the Bible, and we could say, well, we would have been the disciple that would have been, I wouldn't have been the guy like struggling in the dispute. I would have been the moderator and just kind of sitting in the back. Right? No, we would have been the ones in the dispute. We'll learn the most if we would have said, I could have been Judas. Let's continue in verse 25, Luke 22:25. I want to bring that part up. But when Jesus said to them, he said, "The kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who exercise authority over them call themselves benefactor." And Jesus is kind of saying this tongue-in-cheek, because Jesus was pointing out the way of worldly leaders. And worldly leaders used their position really to serve themselves. These worldly leaders, they would call themselves benefactors. And they would say, like, hey, well, we're serving others and we're benefiting others by our service. But it was a total joke. These guys, these Roman leaders, they were hated tyrants. And they only served their own self-interest. And they did nothing to empower others. They did nothing to elevate the position or the status of others. In fact, they did everything that they could do to keep others down, to protect their own self-interest. And Jesus says, you guys aren't to be like that, right? Now, Jesus never said, don't aim to be great. Did you guys notice that? He never said, don't try to be great. But he just points out and he says, there's another way to greatness that the world knows nothing about. And this path to greatness that Jesus taught about and that Jesus demonstrated, obviously it made him great, but you know what? It made everybody around Jesus great. And if the disciples would take this same path to greatness, it would make everybody around the disciples great too. It would elevate others and it would empower others as well. And this is the hidden power of serving. Amen? Okay, this is going to get fun here. The hidden power of serving. Now, in serving, there's some not so hidden power of serving. We've got some people here that are so generous in the things that they do. But when we do something nice for somebody, and if somebody has a need and we help them out and do something kind, if they need food and we give them food, we lessen a burden. And that's the obvious thing. That's not quite so hidden, right? It's a nice thing to do. It makes the world a better place. And we all appreciate it because we've all needed help in our day. We've all had a tough day or a tough season, and we really appreciate it when somebody gives us a hand. So that's the right thing to do, and we're called to do that, right? Jesus says, when you do this for the least of these, what? You've done that for me. So it's cool. If you said, hey, how would you like to minister to Jesus today? Oh, that'd be awesome. I'm in. Okay, well, just help out the least of these. Go into your community, somebody that really needs help, somebody that's experienced injustice in their life, a young kid who's, through no fault of their own, experienced, it's 9 o'clock at night and they haven't had their first meal. And yes, you can find it right here in this zip code. You can find it right here in Huntersville tonight. There's going to be kids in this area that at 9 o'clock tonight, they're going to be walking around looking for their first meal. Guarantee it. Those are nice things to do. This isn't the hidden part of it. But there are some other hidden power of it. We're going to show these up here on the board if we could. So the hidden power of serving is that when we serve, that it personifies thanksgiving. Serving expresses thanksgiving. I'm doing for others because God has done for me. It says it. It shouts out that God has done something for me. It just says it's a way of living. Instead of just saying, thank you, Lord, it's a way of living. Thank you, Lord. It's powerful in that way. It just says it. You may not intend for it to say it, but it just says it. It's our most normal state of the heart. It's the thing that just makes the most sense, the attitude or the thing that we should be thinking. If I just stopped right now and said, okay, stop right what you're doing. What are you thinking about right now? What's the attitude of your heart? Where you're at in your mind and your thought? Well, I'm double booked for lunch. Dang. I mean, or whatever you're thinking. If we took a poll right now, the thing that you come up across the board, or at least over 50% of you, or three quarters of us, we should say, I was just thinking about how grateful I am. I'm just thanking God for my family right now. I just can't believe the things that God has done in my life, the provision that he's given me. That should just be our default. Constantly, we should just, and if we ever come out of that, we should just be going right back to that place. It just should be our most natural state of mind, our most natural state of the heart. Is that right? That should be it. And that's the hidden power of serving. It just keeps taking us there, and it just expresses our most natural thing. The second thing that it does is that serving, the hidden power of it, it points people to God. Matthew 5:16 says this, in the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Well, I didn't know I was pointing. I thought I was just doing a good thing. It does. That's the hidden power. The power has it. It glorifies your Father in heaven, and other people can see it. The next hidden power in serving is that it points people to Christ. When are you the most like Jesus? Well, when I'm rebuking religious people. Could be. Seriously, could be. When I'm casting out demons. Yep. Could be. When I'm teaching. Yep, disciple making is something that Jesus would do. When I'm walking on water. Anybody here do that? I don't know. Here's what I want to propose. That we're most like Jesus when we serve others. That might be debatable. I'm not saying thus saith the Lord on that one. But I thought about it quite a bit. And I think I can make a pretty good argument for that. We're most like Jesus when we're serving others. How do I get there? Well, the first verse, Jesus did not come to be served, but to serve. Speaks to his purpose, one of his core purposes for coming. When Jesus washed his disciples' feet, he says, John 13:15. I got that up there. I have given you an example to follow. Do as I have done to you. The next hidden power of serving is that serving encourages and exhorts others to do the same. That's where this power comes in. It's exponential. This power of serving. It's just not contained to us. It can actually grow. Hebrews 10:24. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Serving encourages and exhorts others. Let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. So those are all kind of hidden powers that come. We can see how this thing can grow. We can see how it could build. Can you see how it could build the kingdom? This power where it's this the serving thing, like it didn't really make sense when Jesus said, you know, become the greatest, become the least, and don't, you know, dominate people, but to serve them. And maybe it didn't make sense on face value, but now can we begin to see how this power of serving others can really be more powerful, where all of a sudden we can see where it can split time, where it can defeat the power of the grave, where it's got power to change lives and power to change the world. We can begin to see it. But I want to tell you, I'm not going to stop there, but when I began to look at this particular scripture verse on serving others and serving God, there was another aspect of it that I don't know if I've seen before, to be honest with you. I kind of got it and looked at it, but in this context, it was like all of the context. I don't know how I missed it. You guys ready to look at that? This is where, yeah, the rubber hits the road, and this is what I want to focus on today. So we're going to read and continue. We're going to read, Luke 22:28, continue in this. And Jesus continues his teaching here in the Who is the Greatest? You are those who have stood by me in my trials. And I confer on you a kingdom, just as my Father conferred one on me, so that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. You see, a lot of times when we talk about the messages that Jesus taught on serving, the common theme really a lot of time is humility, right? And we've focused a lot on that, and that's valid. But I want to tell you, in this context, in this particular teaching on serving, Jesus ends it by relating the whole thing on serving with their destiny. It's about humility, but now Jesus ends the whole thing talking about their destiny. Do you see that? This is the context. So serving has the power to affect our destiny and the destiny of those around us. And I'm going to unpack this a little bit, but this is what I'm saying. That serving has the power to affect our destiny and the destiny of those around us. And let's look at the ways. Serving Jesus affects our destiny. Let's look at what happened in the disciples. If we look at verse 22-28, Jesus says, hey, you guys have stood by me, and he talks about this reward that they get, and he's talking about what they experience in the here and now, but he also talks about what they're going to experience, what? In eternity. There's a lot of different views about what he means about, you know, judging and sitting on the thrones and judging the 12 tribes of Israel. We are not going to get into that. That's a whole another probably sermon series over the time, and the best minds and hearts can't come up exactly what it means, and we aren't going to do that. But clearly, he is speaking about their destiny. He is clearly talking about some of the things they're going to experience here and now, and then in the eternity. Right, he is clearly talking about blessings, but he is talking about a special friendship that they'll experience because they served Jesus. He is talking about a place of honor that they're going to experience because they served Jesus. He is talking about some really cool assignments that they're going to experience because they served Jesus. And I want to tell you something. You cannot go wrong if you'll serve Jesus. So, serving Jesus pointed these guys into their destiny. It brought them closer into their destiny. Amen? The second point in this thing that I'm trying to make is that serving others affects our destiny. When we serve others, we are agreeing with the purposes for which God created us for and God called us to. Ephesians 2:10 says this, we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So, as we were created, God prepared things for us to do. We had a destiny of good works, of serving others to do. And in this, that is our destiny. So, if we don't serve others, we could never get into these good works that he prepared for us in advance. And I would say that everything that we do, big and small, church stuff and not church stuff, either agrees or disagrees with the plans and purposes of God in our life. Everything that we do, big and small, church stuff and not church stuff, either brings us closer to our God destiny or it holds us back from our God destiny. Everything that we do. What? You mean how I just spent that last $5? Yep. Every financial decision you make either agrees with the purposes and plans that God has for you, that he prepared you for long ago in advance, before and as you he created you. Every work decision you make. Should I go out with this guy? Should I go out with that girl? That decision is going to agree with or disagree with God's plans and purposes for your life. Should I take this job? Should I take that job? Doesn't really matter. Am I going to buy this CD, that CD? Well, we don't do that anymore, do we? Am I going to download this thing? Am I going to subscribe to this Spotify radio station or not? It does. It's either agreeing or disagreeing. And we could talk about it some more if you want, but I thought it through, and I'm convinced. It either brings us closer to or it holds us back for the plans and the purposes that God has created for us. And I call this a God destiny. If you're wondering what does he mean by God destiny, that's what I mean. We all have one. So serving Jesus affects our destiny. How we serve Jesus, if we serve Jesus. Serving others affects our destiny. And the other thing I want to point out, the third thing, is that serving others affects their destiny. Serving others affects their destiny. Let's look at the example of Jesus and the disciples. In terms of their reaching their destiny, fulfilling the plans and the calling that God had on their lives, how much power was there in Jesus serving the disciples to get there? Would Peter, the fisherman, have become Peter, the fisher of men, without Jesus serving him? I don't know. Jesus elevated these guys. These were uneducated, most of them. Fishermen were just kind of looked at kind of nomadic day laborers. I mean, some of these guys owned boats, so they could have been small business owners, enterprise guys, but most of these guys were not the cream of the crop by any stretch of the imagination. And he did the same with others. As he served them, he elevated them, he empowered them, he brought them closer to and helped them walk in their God destiny. When people connected with them, that's the way it went. When Jesus connected with the man of the tomb, right? The guy who had a legion, he was a demoniac, he was possessed with demons, he was out of his mind, he was naked, slashing himself, self-harming, he was disconnected from God, he was disconnected from community, he was completely and utterly probably the most tormented person in all of Scripture. He connects with Jesus, and what happens? He is completely delivered in a moment, set in his right mind, and he is walking in the purpose and the plans that God had from him all along. He wants to follow Jesus and go with him, but Jesus says, no, you stay here and you tell everybody about what I did for you. All of a sudden now, not only is he elevated and empowered, but now he goes throughout the whole entire region telling everybody about Jesus, and now he is empowering and elevating everybody around him. That's the way it works. We serve others and we empower others. The woman at the well in John 4, the Samaritan woman, right? Serial divorcee. The town, you know what? She was just a shadow. She was so broken in relationship. Jesus, she connects with Jesus. He elevates her, empowers her. And I don't know if the whole entire village gets saved, but according to Scripture, pretty much the whole village gets saved. Samaritan village gets saved. People that were far away from God, all of a sudden, now this whole village is elevated and empowered because she connected with Jesus. I want to tell you that it brought this whole village into their God destiny. That happens, you see in the Scripture over and over and over again. What about Zacchaeus? Even when people were trying to talk Jesus out of empowering this guy and elevating him. Don't you know this guy is ripping us off for the benefit of Rome and for his own personal benefit? He gets empowered and he comes to his sentence. He repents. He gets saved. All the wrongs that he had done, he makes them right. He repays everything that he's done wrong by what? Four times. He makes it right. Then what happens? He gives half of what he owns to the poor. So not only is he empowered, but then all of a sudden he goes out and he empowers the poor people. That's what happens. That's the power of serving. It's exponential. I have given you an example to follow. Do as I have done to you. And this is a choice. Paul wrote this in 1 Corinthians 9:19, right here, is I have become just about every sort of servant there is. I have become just about every servant there is in my attempts to lead those I meet into a God-saved life. This is his serving, to bring people into their God destiny. There is a power in serving others, and it's an exponential power. This is the whole point of this message. If I serve me, what is the maximum number of people that can be brought into their destiny? One. Right? But if we see, we look through Scripture, the people that serve themselves, what usually happened in their lives? Usually they destroyed it. It just never seemed to work out for them when they served themselves. So usually the number is going to be zero. But if I serve someone else, how many are built up? Usually moi and the other person. All of a sudden, now there are two. Do you see how exponentially this thing works? That all of a sudden, it just grows. That all of a sudden, my destiny is realized, and all of a sudden, your destiny is realized too. And that's how it works. That's why this hidden power of serving works better than the power of dominion over somebody else. This is the secret that Jesus knew when he talked about it. He knew what he was doing. Jesus is really smart, huh? We would have never got that. We still would be on top trying to dominate and try to build and change the world that way. Now, do you believe that God has a purpose and a plan for your life? Another question. Do you believe God has a plan and a purpose and a destiny for the person sitting on your left? Look at him. Do you think and believe that God has a plan and a purpose and a destiny for the person sitting on your right? In front of you? Behind you? I want to shift the way that we look at each other. Serving others is about helping each other's burdens and doing this type of thing. It's about our destinies. Like, we just can't get there by ourselves. That's not God's design. That's why Jesus took 3 years to exemplify and personify serving others. And this is the power of it. I need to serve you guys. You guys need to serve me. You guys need to serve the person on your left. You need to serve the person on your right. We can just not get there. That's not God's design. And that's what we're looking at today, is just helping each other get there. How can I help? Everybody say that. How can I help? How can I help? Let's look at our response to this scripture. Hopefully I have it up here. Romans 15:2 out of the Message. Each one of us needs to look after the good of the people around us, asking ourselves, how can I help? I want to put just a slight twist on it for this morning. Each one of us needs to look after the destiny of the people around us. Each one of us needs to look after the destiny of the people around us, asking ourselves, how can I help? The power of serving. Let's go ahead and we'll stand. And what I want us to do is I want us to join hands. Just go across the aisle. If you're a visitor here this morning, this might be kind of creepy. Little spiritual skinny dipping right here. But we're standing here believing that the person on your left and on your right has a God destiny. And we're sitting here believing like we've got a part in their destiny. Do you guys believe that after this morning? I want to tell you it's true. I believe it with my whole heart. Do you guys believe it with your whole heart? That it's about serving and taking care of needs. But there's a much bigger part to there. That we need each other to get to our God destiny. It's just a better way to go. It's just a better way to go. Let's bow our heads and let's pray. Lord, we pray this morning, we pray for just a different way to see our brothers and sisters. Lord, we need to see them the way that you see them. We need to see each other as people with destiny. Oh, Lord, people with callings on their lives, people with the ability to change the world. Lord, forgive us when we've looked at others as obstacles and diversions and just delays. Lord, it's just a means to getting something done. Lord, we know that you've equipped us for every good work. We know that you've given everybody in this room spiritual gifts, Lord, and we just ask for forgiveness where we've just squandered these gifts that you've given us, and we've squandered them on ourselves. Lord, we've just had these power tools, we've just kept them in the bag. Lord, we just want to release right now a freedom, Lord, to use these power tools to build into each other. Lord, we want to use these our gifts and our talents to serve you. Lord, and as we do, we know that as we serve, Lord, that people will be pointed to you, God. That people will glorify you. That people will see Christ because we're most like you when we serve. Lord, that we'll encourage others to love and good deeds when we serve. Lord, we just make a promise of the heart to be willing to look at each other differently. To bless each other. And we say yes. If you agree, just say yes. To be used by you to bring others closer to their destiny. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, well, be blessed. Hopefully we'll see you at Life Groups this week or Good Friday service Friday or Easter Sunday. And don't move to Possum Neck, Mississippi, or change your name to Skeeter. Amen.